Dave Compulsive Overeater, and I'm it's what is it, 1 o'clock here in San Diego. My experience is I came to Overeaters Anonymous August 17th, 1976, and I weighed over 300 pounds. I don't have a way to put pictures up, but that's my head. So there's the head right there, and that was in a relapse after 10 years in the program. So I always want to say that, because when you think you know everything, sometimes you relapse. My friend Jack Z used to say, if you rest on your laurels, your laurels tend to spread. And that's a Jack Zism. He was one of our early trustees, but the late Jack Z passed away. A good friend of mine. Anyway, how I started out was May 22nd, 1944, and I was I was orphaned by Mammy Alasio and Navy Chief William Henderson. My name was Robert Lee Henderson when they put me in the orphanage, and Al and Dorothy Burge came and adopted me out of the orphanage. And my adoption paper said that David Burge, the son of Mamie Alasio and William Henderson, was their illegitimate child. It's right there on the papers. So when I read that early on, my mother probably shouldn't have shown that to me. It made sense to me. You know, I was a mistake. I was a big mistake. And so that's how I started out. You know, really believing that I was a big mistake. So you can understand, when I came into Overeaters Anonymous, the God idea didn't go over well with me, because I wasn't in God's grace. I was quite sure of that. So before I got here, I lived with my parents, and they did not get along at all, and then they divorced when I was a teenager. But they separated a lot when I was a little kid, and that doesn't, you know, if you already have a fear of abandonment from being an adopted child and slept with the lights on because I couldn't stand the darkness. Now I had the lights on until I got the fear of the program at 32 years old. So so that's my wound. You know, a lot of us, you know, I have to look at our wound, you know, to find out, you know. We don't regret the past or wish to shut the door on it, kind of thing. And that's what I've done over the years, been encouraged to by people a lot smarter than I was when I came in. You know? And so when I would feel sorry for myself, my mother would sit me down and give me something to eat. Or have something to eat, son, and you'll feel better. You know? And of course I did, temporarily. And then I would eat the whole half a box of what you gave me, and she'd say, well, you know, that's gluttony. So I got a little mixed message there, you know. And so that's the way I grew up, and I had all the nicknames, Fatso, Porky, and I would, you know, like any big fat guy, and a lot of us, we'd make fun of it, you know, go along with it, you know? And I had just surrendered to the fact that I was just going to be a fat kid, you know, and that was, you know, some people are fat, some people are, and that's the way you are, you know, so don't worry about it. Just keep doing what you're doing. So I would say, you know, when my nickname was Porky, I would say, well, the price of pork, that's a compliment. Ha, ha, ha. They laughed about it, you know, until I came and met people like you, and they said, that's not funny, Dave, because you lost 130 pounds, you're not fat anymore, you know. And you would ask me how I was when I first came into the OA meetings. And I would say, well, I'm just fat, dumb, stupid, and ugly. Isn't that funny? And people say, no, that's not funny. Somebody finally told me that, you know, you're not fat, you're not stupid, and you know, and you're not ugly, you know. So you know, a lot of us start out that way. And I'm not unusual. I'm not unique at all. My story is like anybody else's story. So I came into my first meeting. Through a referral from my doctor, Mary Janian at Kaiser Permanente. And I finally went to see her after I tried the shots and pills, and I got a long story about that. I won't bore you with, but and I lost weight on the shots and pills, and I went to the pool hall where I this was before the program, where I hung out as a teenager. I was living up in L.A. with a guy, and he sent me to this doctor that gave me shots and pills. And I came down to see my mother, and I went to the pool hall that I used to hang out with in the bowling alley down there in the Parkway Bowl. And there was a girl in there that I used to admire. And I would, I had the big fat guy's dream. I could never have a relationship with her. She's too beautiful. She wouldn't have anything to do with me. Well, I weighed 190 pounds. She ran up and threw her arms around me and told me how handsome I was. And I could not say a word. I was just frozen in my tracks. And I realized later on when I got the program, I was so angry at myself because I couldn't say anything. But I did. The only thing I knew how to do, I went to the Speedy Mart, which are now 7-Elevens, and I bought a bunch of crap and started eating it. So that was my start. But I got to that meeting after seeing my doctor and telling her I needed help with my weight, and she said that, well, you should follow this food plan and you lose weight. So I followed the food plan and I lost weight, and I would come back to see her, and she would say, okay, that's good, Dave, just keep going, use your willpower, you know what to do now, and you're on the road, And so I went to work at Christmas time, and they had a pot. All the guys had a potluck, working with a big crew of men, and they said, look, you're not going to screw up the potluck at Christmas time. You can go on your damn diet on Monday. So yeah, that sounded reasonable. So Monday never came, and I had a great time at the potluck, and so I went back to see Dr. Merrick. She couldn't see me anymore because she said, I've seen you enough. I've got other patients, just go out on your own, take care of yourself. So I went back to see her and I said, I heard about this stomach bypass surgery. And I pay $64 a month for my health insurance. So I'd like to have that. And she said, well, number one, you're not a candidate for it. In those days, you had to be at risk. You don't have congestive heart failure yet. You don't have diabetes yet. You don't have high blood pressure yet. So, you're not going to get it. I said, well, then I had got the first part of the second step right. I said, well, I'm crazy. Anybody that thinks about food all day and eats all day and talks to my wife about dinner at breakfast time while I'm eating this big breakfast, it's crazy. And that's what I do. I can't stop, I said, so maybe I need to see a psychiatrist. Can you refer me to a psychiatrist or one of those people that maybe can help me with what's wrong with me, find out what's wrong with me? And so she said, I don't think you're crazy. She says, I think what you need is a support group is what you need. She says, I know of two, Overeaters Anonymous and Weight Watchers. And she says, the only thing I know about it is one costs money and the other one's free. So guess what one is free? I went to the free one, and that's how I got to know you, people like you. And so I called up on the phone, and I was hoping somebody would come and take me to the meeting, but they didn't have anybody to do that. I didn't want to drive my car. I said, where's the meeting at? They said, well, it's down at the Westminster Church on Wednesday night down in Kensington. I said, well, I live in Elkhorn. That's 15 miles away. I said, oh, you live in Elkhorn, Mr. Bergler? That's over here, right across the valley at W.D. Hall School, Second Pepper. I said, well, that's way across the valley. That's about a mile and a half. I laugh about that because, of course, I've traveled lots of ways. I just came back from San Antonio, Texas. I led a retreat back there. They asked me to lead a retreat. I said, I'll be there. And then they said, well, we can't pay you. I said, no, I don't want you to pay me. I got to give this away. So I went to my first meeting, and they said, here's what you do. Here's what we do. Eat three meals a day, nothing in between, except coffee, tea, or low-calorie drinks. No sugar, flour, or wheat, one day at a time. And that's how you do it. You get a sponsor, make three phone calls every day, call your food in, do the assignments, 30-day assignments, you're done with the first three steps. So I was at the bottom. I was going to do all that stuff. And my there was no men in the program that I went to. There were no men in the meeting. So it was all women. And I felt really comfortable about that because I was always afraid of men. So women were very nurturing and sweet and nice and kind and loving and accepting. And so it was, you know, I probably would have ran out of a men's meeting. So Helen was my sponsor, and she had three boys. And I don't know the names of any of the other three boys, the two boys, but I know Stephen was the one, because Stephen was like me. He was always getting in trouble, you know. And I would go call my food in, and she would say, just a minute, Dave. Stephen, get off of there. She had to interrupt old Stephen. He was a troublemaker. Anyway, so I did my assignments. I called my food in. I went on the food plan, and I lost 130 pounds, a little over. It was actually too fast to lose that much weight. You know, I had some problems because of my body adjusting to all the quick weight loss. And so I went to a lady came there to the meeting named Susan T. She's a wonderful lady from Louisiana. And we all smoked cigarettes in those days. Not everybody, but you could smoke cigarettes in the meeting. You know? So she offered me a cigarette. She smoked the same cigarettes that I did. I liked her right away. She called me sweetie. And she invited me to go down to this big meeting, this Kensington meeting that everybody talked about. You know? So I was getting a resentment in my meeting because they kept asking me to go to step studies. Got to come to the step study. I don't know what a step study. But, so Helen and I called those people the God Squad. Because they had the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, you got to read this book. I'm an alcoholic. Why should I read a book about alcoholics? You know, I'm an overeater. I have a problem with alcohol. So that's where I was at. And couldn't have been anywhere different. So I was just, after a while, I had to go to more meetings. You know, I had needed more help. I needed more of you. And my poor wife didn't understand that. She's, why are you going to, you lost all your weight. Why are you going to these meetings with these people? And they're all women. Women are calling you on the phone. Well, you have to sponsor women because there's no guys around, you know. And she filed for divorce. Yeah, I understand that today. I thought it was very unfortunate that she did that at the time. But unfortunate is a kind word I can use today. And my divorce paper said respondent suffered severe personality change as a result of the program of overeaters and all, almost quote unquote. And my roommate Pete, he said, thank God you suffered a personality change. And so, we're talking 47 years. That takes a long time to tell that story. But I told him the big thing was, I felt really, I said, Pete, I get so damn lonely on Sundays because I don't have my family anymore. And I'm here in the apartment and you're going off with your girlfriend and I'm sitting here by myself. And he said, why don't you start a meeting? I said, in our apartment? He said, well, of course. You know? And he'd been he's an AA guy. So he's been around AA a long time, sober a long time. He knew the drill. And so, we started a big book. Candlelight meeting in our apartment, and it was the greatest thing. That was a big turning point for me. I was desperate. I was wanting to read that damn book. You know? And they said, you know, want to just part, scratch out the word alcohol and put in food in there. That's what you do, Dave. And then scratch out the part, you know, alcohol and put, overeating. Then I understood what they were saying, you know, and page 30 became my favorite page. And then I met all these wonderful people, and they invited me on to be on the retreat committee and to come to the inner group. And I, these people were the ones that were successful. So I wanted to hang out with them. You know, they said stick with the winners. You know? So those were the winners. Now I learned later on that there's no losers in LA. There's no winners and losers. There's winners and learners. You know? Sometimes I'm learning, sometimes I'm winning. You know? So, So that was my journey, you know. I couldn't imagine why they wanted to be on the retreat committee. But we had six retreats a year, one every month, every other month in those days. There's a lot more people in OA. So I got to hear some really great retreat leaders and hang out with them and follow them around like a puppy dog.
Five more minutes, Dave.
Thank you very much. And so, you know, that's been my journey, you know. And then I met my childhood sweetheart again. I went up to visit my mother in Northern California. We went to school in grade school. And, you know, and we always had this magnetism, even when we were little children. We still had it as adults, 40 in our 40s. So we ended up getting married. Come to find out, she didn't tell me she was an alcoholic. So that was a great thing that happened to me, because I learned a lot from her, and it got me to go to Al-Anon, and that's part of my story. And Al-Anon saved our marriage, saved me, got me back going in the program. And her last 5 years on this earth, she was sober, and I'm so proud of Pat. She's part of my story. And she, one night about 10 o'clock, we were laying here in bed. And I said, what's all the noise next door? She said, well, that's Anthony fighting with his mother in the condo building. You know? And so she says, I'll be right back. She put on the road. So where are you going? And this guy, Anthony, was violent. I used to stand in my car until he, you know, went up the elevator. And then I'd wait till the elevator went up, and then I'd go up the elevator. I was afraid of him. And come in the garage yelling, cussing, and everything. So she came back, and I said, where did you go? She says, I went over to see Anthony. He's taking me to a meeting tomorrow. I told him, you're an alcoholic. I'm going, I'm taking you to a meeting. He says, okay, Pat. Fast forward during the pandemic, the end of the pandemic, and a car pulled out. I started walking longer. I walked every day. Pardon me. And so I walked to this parking lot over here. They had moved to some apartments over here. This car pulled out in front of me and rolled down the pasture window. And they said, that's you, Dave? And I stuck my head in the window. I said, Anthony. He says, you know where I'm going? I said, where? He says, I'm going to get my 10-year token. Pat saved my life. That's the story of Alcoholics Anonymous. That's the story of overeaters. That's called Step. I cried all the way home, and I'm so proud of her. So when I did her eulogy, I talked about that with her family. Anyway, so that's kind of my story. What I do today, I'm a coordinator of men's retreat twice a year. I'm not real active with the intergroup anymore. I used to be the volunteer office manager and did a lot of stuff in there. We started the mailing. We were mailing out to retreat forum or newsletters and directories to all kinds of places. And we closed our office, so we're not doing that. And I sponsor a lot of guys. That's great. I love my guys. Just talked to them on the phone just for the meeting. I'm real active in the men's Zoom meeting. Because I'm a man, you know, and I could tell you the whole male process that I went through, the writing about my initiation and who my male initiators are. As, you know, we go through these, we visit these rooms in the mansion that we've never been in before. They're valuable, and we get value out of them. We get food out of them, spiritual food. You know, and I believe in God today. I read my Bible. I don't mean to offend anybody, but I got rid of my religious prejudice and all that stuff. And I know that I'm a child of God. I'm in God's favor. God loves me. I have affirmations. My body's whole, healed, healthy, and vitally alive today. I'm 79 years old because I pray that I ask God to get me out of this house and walk every day, and I do that.
Okay.
Get up in the morning, first thing, and I read my meditation book. I sit there and I go, what did I just read? If I don't remember, I read it again. So sometimes I read it three times till I quiet my mind down. And that's how I start my day. Then I go on a 6:45 phone meeting. every day, and I try to do some service on there while I'm walking. I listen to that, and then I come home and I take my phone calls from the people I sponsor, and I have a sponsor. That's a whole other story. Two of my sponsors passed away, so I had to get a new one. He's an amazing man, very amazing. He's just the opposite. He's very quiet. I'm not. He teaches mindful meditation. Just exactly the sponsor I need to have. But he's a great guy. We're good friends. But that's what I do. Somebody asks me to lead a meeting or go somewhere and do something for OA, and I learned that's what I do. And I let Pete Peterson do that. I saw him up there the year, my roommate. And he taught me about this program.
5 minutes, Dave.
Thank you very much. So I owe a lot to a lot of people that helped me. So thank you for listening.